Don't you enjoy singing songs like those last few songs that we sang about what heaven is like and our being able to go there? That's what it's all about. Nothing else matters if we miss heaven. Everything needs to be pointed in that direction. I'm glad each of you is here tonight. We have some visitors, some of the ladies that visit with us regularly, and the Perry's back with us today, and maybe others, but we're just glad that each one of you is here. If you did not get a copy of the bulletin this morning, be sure you get one, because there's some important events coming up. Number one, we'll be meeting Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night. And it's singing night, fifth Wednesday night or fifth midweek night. And I think David Wade is going to be back with us, and maybe we'll be able to sing some favorite songs that he can lead that some of the rest of us maybe cannot. So try to be here Tuesday night if you can. And then, did you notice the little quip that I had in the bulletin this morning about the time change next week? Run your clock back 1 hour, and if you have not been coming to Bible class, forget to run your clock back 1 hour. And just come on anyway, okay? We have to make a little fun along and along, but we do want you here at every service that you can be here, and I look forward to being with you. We are continuing to study about Moses. Moses was an outstanding man. He was an outstanding man of faith. And tonight we're going to be talking about the faith of Moses. Last week we talked about the sin of Moses. And next week we'll talk about love and the Decalogue. And Decalogue is another name for the Ten Commandments. We'll be looking at the different types, about four different types of love that's included in those Ten Commandments. And at this point I plan to have at least one more lesson after that, and maybe two on the Ten Commandments, as we put them in focus and learn from that the commandments that God gave Moses on tables of stone written with the finger of God. Most of you are aware that the 11th chapter of Hebrews is called the faith chapter of the Bible. Sometimes it's referred to as a list of the heroes of faith. Sometimes it is talked about God's Hall of Fame, because there are some of the most outstanding people in the Bible mentioned in that chapter. Many of the people that are mentioned in that chapter only have one verse or two verses about them. For example, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Not a lot said. But there are eight verses in that chapter that talk about faith related to Moses. Beginning at verse 23 in Hebrews 11, and the first verse talks more about the faith of others than that of Moses, but the setting begins. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The most lengthy discussion of any one person in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, as the faith of Moses is talked about. There is one verse in a setting back in the third chapter of Hebrews, in verse 5 of chapter 3. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. And that's in a setting where he's talking about that each one is building a house and each one of us ought to be faithful in building that house. And he uses Moses as an example in that situation. Tonight, as we particularly look at these two passages of scriptures, 8 verses in 11 and 1 verse in chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews, let's look for a few moments at the faith of Moses. First, I want you to consider the environment of faith in which Moses grew up and with which he was associated in his work. The first mention of faith in the 11th chapter in connection with Moses is the faith that his parents had. And as we study the book of Exodus on this, emphasis is placed more on the faith of his mother. In fact, later on in this series of lessons, we will have a lesson on the mother of Moses. But you remember what his mother did. When it was a time that she, according to the commandment of Pharaoh, would have killed Moses when he was born, decided that he was a goodly child, and she hid him for a period of time till she could not hide him any longer, and then placed him in a situation where she was sure that the daughter of Pharaoh would come and would see him. And she believed in God enough to believe that God could work things out to spare Moses' life at that time. The fact that Moses even was able to grow up and able to become an adult was because of the faith of his parents, mentioned in Hebrews 11, especially the faith of his mother. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it is said of Timothy, Paul talking to him, that he had seen the unfeigned love and the unfeigned faith, particularly, that Timothy had in his mother Eunice and in his grandmother Lois, which is a parallel idea to the faith that was there in the case of Moses. If it had not been for the faith of his parents, as we said a moment ago, he probably would have not even lived. And because of the faith of his parents, it can be seen from our vantage point tonight that he grew up in an environment of faith. After he was placed in that little ark, you remember that with Miriam's help, that his mother was the one selected to be the nurse for him after Pharaoh's daughter considered him to be her son. She wanted a Hebrew woman to take care of him, and God's providence had to be involved in this to where it was his mother. I don't know exactly what age Moses was when he left his mother's house and went to live in the house with Pharaoh and with his daughter. The rest of the time, up until he was 40, he grew up in that city. But it is interesting to know that when he came to the point of having to make decisions, that his mother had instructed him well enough in those early years that he was able to make the right decisions. That was because of the faith that she had in God and the faith that she wanted to instill in her son. Each one of us, when born, is dependent upon the circumstances into which he is born that will help determine what the future holds. I was born into a family where dad and mother were both Christians. I cannot remember when I was not going to church and Bible class. I was being taken before I can even remember anything. That set of circumstances and the faith of my parents had a lot to do with where I am today. If it had not been for them, I'm rather sure I would not be doing what I'm doing today. I was dependent upon their faith in the first years of my life. Moses was dependent upon the faith of his mother in particular during the first few years of his life. But then in the last 40 years of his life, and especially in those years, he was associated with the people of God. When he left and went back down into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of bondage, he was being associated with God's people. And though they had made a lot of mistakes and had a lot of problems, they still recognized the God of Israel. And so Moses was associated with the people of God during his life. We can say that he grew up and lived at least much of his life in an environment where faith was emphasized. Notice the surroundings in which he grew up a little bit more, and notice that he was one who observed his surroundings and learned from them. He saw the difference in Egypt and Israel. He was there in Pharaoh's castle, you might say, for I would say 35 years at least. I don't know exactly how old he was when he left his mother's care, when he was weaned, and when he had gotten to the point that he went to live with Pharaoh's daughter. But he spent no doubt some 30 to 35 years associated with the leaders of Egypt, and yet he could see the difference between Egypt and Israel. And at age 40, when it came to a point that he had to make a decision, he had observed enough and learned enough, even though he was living in Pharaoh's house, to see that there was a difference between God's people and the other people. He had seen what it meant to have pleasure and what it meant to have treasure. You notice it is said here in Hebrews 11 that he chose to be with God's people rather than to enjoy the blessings that would have been associated with Egypt. He no doubt could have had anything he wanted, could have advanced in many ways if he had wanted to do that as a part of the Egyptians, because he had been brought up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he could see the difference when he looked at the subject of pleasure and when he looked at the idea of treasure. He had later on seen the power of God in the 10 plagues in Egypt. You think about standing by and seeing as an eyewitness those 10 things that happened in Egypt. No doubt that contributed to the strong faith that he had, because he saw the evidence of God's power as it was working there. When they came to the 10th plague, and this one is even mentioned here in Hebrews 11, he saw the power associated with just sprinkling some blood on the doorpost and the lintel to protect the firstborn in each household of Israel, when the firstborn was killed in each household of Egypt. He had observed the power of God in that sense. Think about the impression that must have been made on him when he and Aaron held the rod out over the Red Sea, and it parted back to where the children of Israel, maybe 3 to 3.5 million by number, marched across between those walls of water that were standing back. You know that that had to have an effect upon his faith that he had in God. Then think about the Passover and the leading of the children of Israel out of Egypt. Think about the times that he saw God's power as God brought food to the children of Israel, and as he brought water to the children of Israel, even though that was associated with the specific sin that is mentioned and had its effect in Moses' life and his future. Hebrews 11:27, in what we read a few minutes ago, said that he was seeing the invisible. That chapter includes a statement that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He had not seen God, but he had witnessed a conversation with God at the burning bush, for example, and had heard God tell him in God's voice, though he could not see him, he could hear him, that he was the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses had lived many years where he had had the opportunity to observe the power of God. And he was a man who believed that. Think about his personal growth as far as faith is concerned. There are three words used in Hebrews 11:24 that emphasize a lot. The words are come of years. When he had come of years, he made these decisions. He came to the point of being his own man, developing his own faith in God, having the ability to make the right kind of decisions for the people of God. He had heard the word of God, as we said, at the burning bush in Exodus 2. He had, in a sense, had constant contact with God during the 40 years of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness wanderings. We're reminded in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Whereas you and I turn to the written word and develop and maintain our faith, Moses was able to have the direct word of God to him to develop and to maintain his faith. There's also a statement made here in Hebrews 11 that I think figures into this, and that is that he was considering the final reward. Moses had a faith that caused him not to look at just today and what he could have today and look at those times that he could have had anything that he wanted, physically speaking, but he was considering the final reward, the final end of all of it. As you and I sang those songs a moment ago about heaven, we should be reminded, as I indicated at the beginning of the lesson, that that's the final goal, that that's what matters. And if we can ever get to the point that we, like Moses, can consider the final reward and we make our decisions and do what we do in life with that in mind, it will affect our life in the same way that it affected his. Paul warned in 2 Corinthians 4:18 that we have a tendency to think about the things that are on this earth. But he said we need to think about the things that are eternal instead of the things that are temporal. Our lives consist of many things. And we can allow ourselves to be tied to the things that are temporal that will eventually be gone when this world is gone. Or we can allow ourselves and persuade ourselves to be tied to the things that are eternal, where we lay up our treasures in heaven, as Jesus said, and think in terms of what we do today meaning something toward heaven instead of just meaning something for today. That seems to have been the attitude that Moses had. He was focused on the final reward. So far, we've talked about what contributed to the developing of his faith, the environment in which he lived, especially as a child, his observance of the surroundings that were around him at different times, including his 40 years in Egypt, and then his 40 years in Midian, which God evidently used as a preparation for his work, and his 40 years in leading the children of Israel out. We have seen his personal growth and how his focus was on the eternal reward. Now, switching just a little bit, let's think about how faith played into his life and the good results that it produced. Number one, we see a man in Moses who depended on God. He made mistakes, but he was probably one of the most outstanding men and had one of the most outstanding lives that's mentioned in the Bible. And it was his dependence on God. Even when he developed a bit of an inferiority complex at the burning bush and said, "I'm not the one for the job," he still listened to God and eventually was convinced of what he needed to do. It is said of Moses in Numbers 12 and verse 3 that he was the meekest man that ever lived. Sometimes we misunderstand that word meek and think that it means weak when it doesn't. Meekness means standing firm in a kind way. And Moses was that kind of man. Don't you think that was produced because of his faith? His faith also developed to the point that he was ready to defend the people of God. I'm not for sure that any one of us can fully understand the decision that Moses had to make at age 40. You remember how he had defended one of the children of Israel and had even hid the body that he killed in the sand. And yet he found out a little later that even those in Israel knew about it. And he had to flee from Egypt and spend those 40 years in the land of Midian. But when it came to the point of making a decision between upholding the Egyptians or upholding the Israelites, he knew how to make that decision. And I'm pretty sure he didn't learn what he needed to make that decision in the house of Pharaoh. I think that he learned it as a youngster with his mother particularly. But his faith, even at that point, at age 40, caused him to be ready to defend God's people. And it caused him to be strong enough to have the ability and the willpower to make the right choice. That was not an easy choice. When you really look at it from man's standpoint, most people would say, well, he should have gone in the other direction. He's going to stand up for these people that are slaves in Egypt instead of taking advantage of his being in the house of Pharaoh. Why do you think he made that right decision? I believe it was because of his faith. And it had to be his faith that allowed him to accept some unusual requests. Put that blood on the door? That doesn't make sense, except that God said, do it. Walk out into the Red Sea with water piled up on either side and believing that you're safe in doing what God has said. Standing face to face with Pharaoh and telling him what's going to happen if he doesn't let the children of Israel go. Meeting those four compromises of Pharaoh and saying, no, we are not going to take that. We're going to do what God wants. Folks, that wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to take a stand like that. And it was only done because of his faith. It is said in Hebrews 3:5, that one verse that we read over in another portion of the book, that Moses was faithful in his house as a servant. It would have been easy for Moses to have been maybe a ruler or next in line to the ruler in Egypt. And when he went to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out, he was the leader. He was the leader for 40 years, bringing them up to the brink of Jordan, going over into the land of Canaan, not allowed to go because of his sin that we studied last Sunday night. And yet, everything that is said describes him as a servant. He was a leader, but he was a servant. He was a leader of the people, but he was a servant to the people and through them to God. Why? Because of his faith. He really believed that when God said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, that he was talking are listening to the God, the creator of all mankind. With all the drawbacks that he had that might have turned him in the wrong direction. First, the possibility of being killed, then living in a setting where God certainly was not respected in the house of Pharaoh. 40 years in, you might say, an opportunity to think through himself and his own desires in Midian. Through all of this, he is described as a servant because of the faith that he had. Moses is a classic example of the kind of person that one needs to be in following God. He lived under the old law. He died under the old law. He will be judged by the old law. You and I live under a new covenant. will die under that new covenant, and we will be judged by that new covenant. But we serve the same God that Moses served. And we need to have the same kind of faith that he had, and become the same kind of servant that he became. We can learn so much from the faith of Moses as we analyze his life of 120 years. If you have that kind of faith tonight and you are a Christian, just keep on being a servant of God. If you're not a Christian and need to become one, become a servant of God. We'll be glad to help you, if you're a penitent believer, to be baptized into Christ tonight. And if you're a servant who has not lived as he should and needs to come back home, we'll be glad to help you in that. The invitation is yours as together we stand and sing.
I'd like to stay here longer than that.